we turn to our scriptures this morning, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word again and again, seeking understanding and the new life it offers. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Illumine our hearts and minds that we may hear your call and respond with great love. For it is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, the first six verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson comes from the first chapter of John's Gospel. You can turn to page 91 of the New Testament section of our Pew Bibles to follow along. We will hear from the beginning and then towards the middle of that chapter. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We started our Christmas tour of homes last week at Mark's house and noted his simple house with no Christmas decorations. I invite you today to imagine with me that we're standing on that same corner, seeing Mark's house, and then seeing Luke's house and Matthew's house, and we'll be touring those other two houses in the next 2 weeks. We're imagining that we are at this intersection,
because each of the four gospel writers have a different perspective on Jesus, as if they were living on the corners of an intersection and experiencing the object in the center, Jesus, from a little different perspective. In this sermon series, we're noticing how the authors decorate their homes for Christmas and pondering what that tells us about them and what it tells us about Jesus. Well, at the fourth corner of the intersection, instead of a house, we see a sign saying John's house with an arrow pointing down a long drive. Well, since we're here to see John's house, we decide that we better follow the sign. I hope that you'll come along with me. We head down the drive in a small group, maybe three or four of us together. Well, the drive soon becomes more of a path, and we wonder what we'll find at John's house. We know what will be different from those other three that we saw. John's house was the last one of the four to be built. And we've heard that the material that he used was different than those other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all went to a similar building supply store. But John started somewhere else. His house, we know, will be different. We wonder what it will be like. Well, the path starts to wind, and so we have to concentrate. It becomes windy, and we're not always sure which path to take. In addition, it's getting darker. There are no street lights to help us. The trees are closing in on the path. Our sense of mystery and uncertainty grows. We're so relieved that one of us brought an emergency flashlight in the backpack. It works well for a bit, but then it starts to fade and go in and out, and so we do the shaking and the hitting, and that helps for a bit, but it eventually goes out. Well, we're not discouraged for too long because we all have our cell phones, so we pull those out. But those batteries soon give way because we used that GPS at the beginning of the journey, and our phones die as well. The darkness deepens quickly, so much so that we can barely see our hand in front of our face. Our minds race, our hearts quicken. What might be out there in that dark unknown? We slow our pace, and we start talking to stave off our fears. We reflect together how this darkness reminds us of the darkness in our world, how people in Puerto Rico are still living without electricity after the hurricane, how the wildfires in California are devastating so many acres and homes, how violence has erupted again in Gaza and the West Bank, how power continues to be abused, and racism and sexism continue to strike up their ugly heads. The world knows much of this darkness. We walk along now with heavy hearts, and we tentatively begin sharing some of our own darkness, darkness from our own lives, our worry about aging parents or teenage children, a cancer diagnosis for a loved one, a broken marriage, loneliness, struggles with addiction. As we walk slowly and share quietly, the darkness doesn't seem so overwhelming. It's as if the darkness makes space for us to see the world a little differently, to see each other, to see ourselves in a new way. We have the sense that we are supported and surrounded in our group, and we plod on together. We come to a curve at the top of a hill, and as if he appeared right out of the woods, there's a man standing at the top, holding a lantern. He tells us that his name is John,
And he points the way to the turn that we're supposed to take. He tells us that we're almost there. Filled with relief and anticipation, we follow his direction, walking down that hill and up the next. We pause at the top of that hill and we survey where we've been. We can still see John's light that he's holding. And for the first time, we notice other small lights off in the woods at varying distances away, letting us know that there are small cottages throughout the woods, cottages which have a single candle or maybe a Moravian star hanging from the porch. How could we have missed those lights as we walked through the darkness? We recognize now that we were not alone in that darkness, but we hadn't noticed that until we saw John's light pointing us on our way. As our eyes took in his light, we saw more light. We had started on the path supplying our own light with that flashlight and briefly with the cell phones, but those lights only made the darkness around us seem even darker and more frightening. We thought we were so prepared, we were so pleased that we had our own light, but our light actually kept our eyes from adjusting to the darkness. And now we know we had missed so much. One of us quotes from Psalm 139, "Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." As we take in this quiet reflection, we ponder gratefully that we are finally learning to walk in the dark. One of us starts singing out loud a song from Godspell, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." The others wonder why we're not singing Christmas hymns, but we join in the song, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." John had told us that we were close. We head around the next bend and stop in our tracks. We are here at John's house. The first thing we notice about it is that it is glowing. The house is mostly glass and light radiates from every surface. Abundant candles and Moravian stars fill the windows, beckoning us in. We enter the house and immediately feel comforted and warmed by the light. On the wall of the front room, directly ahead of us, is an enormous photograph of the earth. It's the blue marble image of the earth taken during NASA's Apollo 17 mission. The earth hangs almost like a Christmas ornament against the deep black sky. It's captivating, majestic, mysterious. After a moment of silent admiration, one of us recites the opening words of the Bible from Genesis 1. "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night." Another one of us quotes from the cosmic poem from the opening chapter to John's gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John reminds us where the good news of Jesus Christ really starts, not just in Bethlehem or tracing back to Abraham, but out at the beginning of everything. Just like Genesis, John transports us back in time and space to the moment when time and space began, to the instant just before the Big Bang, when all there was God. And that, says John, is where it all started. Creation and redemption, the beginning of life, and the promise that life is stronger than death. We feel that in this place. The light, the warmth, the mystery of the house. While we're there, we know without a doubt that life is stronger than death. That the light will always shine in the darkness. That God is present, even when it seems dark. God isn't just a remote and secret place, a far-off distant heaven, or so far back in the dim reaches of time that it doesn't matter. God is in this house. God is with us. God has come among us to know us from the inside out. The Word dwelt among us, pitched a tent, moved into our neighborhood. John's house reminds us of this. It reminds us of the incarnation, God with us. John's house feels heavenly to us, and we don't want to leave, but we know that we must begin our journey back. As we head to the front door, we notice lanterns, smaller, but like the one that John had carried in the woods. We know without being told that we are each to take a lantern with us so we can carry it on our way back in case we meet travelers and we too can point the way to the light in the house. As we step outside into that dark night, a strong wind whips across the top of the hill where we're standing, but our lanterns don't go out. All the way back, we notice that our lanterns provide light, which is so much more helpful than the light that we tried to provide for ourselves, our flashlight and our cell phones. Those lights don't begin to compare with this heavenly light shining from our lanterns. It's as if this light illumines all the darkness, not scattering it, but filling it with love. The darkness is still there, but it's no longer scary or overwhelming. The lanterns remind us that even in this darkness, God is present, and no darkness can ever take that away. The trip back to our starting corner seems short, and yet filled with the abundance of eternity, our hearts overflowing with hope and joy. We can't wait to tell others of our discoveries. We arrive back, excited to visit Luke's house next week. We hope that you'll join us. In the meantime, we are grateful for opportunities to share our lanterns in this week, pointing, as John did, to Jesus, the light of the world. How will you share your light this week? Let us pray.